The following podcast contains mature content and is meant only for adults. The Fabcast is a collaboration between erotic authors and performers from the Gone Wild Audio subreddit. Visit Gone Wild Audio on Reddit to learn more about us and what we do, and discover more about erotic ASMR and other adult audio productions. The Fabcast is not affiliated with Gone Wild Audio, GWA Backstage, or any other related subreddit. All opinions expressed are solely those of the hosts of this podcast.
Hi, y'all. This is the Fabcast. I'm Muri. I've been left in charge with Eli because Tom is feeling under the weather. We also have a guest. His name is Sir Cuntington III.
The kids have control.
We're the Fabcast.
I'm actually not feeling under the weather, so...
And yet here we are in charge.
I don't know why she said that.
Okay, actually, Sir Cuntington III, would you like to actually give out your username?
Sure. I am the Huntsman 1880, and I'm thrilled to be a guest here. Not all one word, just the Huntsman 1880.
So, Hunt, what do you know about the show? Have you been listening?
I actually have. I unfortunately didn't get to finish the second episode because some shit came up, but I listen to the entirety of the first one. So I know basically what's going on.
So you know what's going on is that we have no idea what we're doing,
right? Oh, absolutely. We're just flying by the seat of our pants. Oh,
true story.
It's beautiful.
Cool. What updates do we have this week, guys?
How's the pregnancy going, Eli?
It's all right. Morning sickness is really weird. Vomiting hornets is a first for me. I don't know how you girls do it every month, but, you know, I think I'll survive.
Huntsman. So, interesting fact. Mm-hmm. Huntsman filled my very first script and also was the first voice artist I collaborated with on a series. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was great.
And it he hates
that
me.
What was that? Like a 10-part series?
Yeah, yep. It was.
It was great.
Okay, great. Yeah, you guys should go check Huntsman out and take a listen to that. So you can listen to some of Miri's early writing and see if it see how it compares to today.
compare compare Anderson Reed.
Has it gotten better or has it gotten worse? We'll update you next week.
After a peer review, we'll come back.
One more announcement. Eli and I are bringing out a sequel. Eli, would you like to say what it's for?
So, for all of you out there who love hearing period Jews, unfortunately, you're going to have to hear it some more. Good luck.
Cool. Okay.
All right. So the quiz is from Cosmo. We're doing an actual Cosmo quiz. Oh, we're finding out our sexual style with this quiz. Yeah. Would the guests like to read out the first question?
Sure. You strip down to your skivvies before a planned sex sesh. What are you wearing? Answer A, a whole ass lingerie look, obviously. Or answer B, a bra and undies that actually match.
Oh, I like putting it on. Like, you find something that's, like, well-fitting and hits every, like, line on your body. Like, you look in the mirror and you're like, fuck, I'd fuck me.
Question number two is thoughts on consensual, in all capitals, consensual roughhousing in bed. Here for it or not for me?
Here for it.
I'm here for it.
Always.
Yeah, I'm here for it. Mm-hmm.
Everybody should get punched in the face at least once during sex just to see how they feel about it.
How many times have you been punched in the face during sex?
You know twice. How long I've been asking to be punched and it hasn't happened.
What? Bro.
I'm so sorry.
What's your policy on FaceTime/Skype sex? So hot, so into it. I might try it if a partner suggested it. Okay, so there's no here. What is it with these quizzes and having questions that have no, yes.
They box you in.
Yes or slightly less yes.
The first one is an endorsement. The second one is...
Second one is like, fine.
Is a normal person yes.
Exactly.
Currently, it's the only way I'm getting laid. So yeah, I'm into it.
Secret's safe with us. Ever had sex in public or like semi-public? Shh, but yes. No, what if I got caught?
It's a yes for me.
Yes.
Yes.
Semi-public, yes.
Your roommate's deaf heard you having sex last night. How do you feel about that? Honestly, I hope they heard.
Eh. They deaf heard you.
Deaf heard you. So D-E-F so they're like as deaf? In definite. No, D-E-F is indefinitely, but definitely. Shortened. Honestly, I hope they heard is option A. Option B is eh, whatever. Everyone has sex. It's fine.
It's the second one for me. I'm not like trying to broadcast it.
Right.
Yeah, the second one for me.
My brother is. The ladies.
Yeah, because he's like, oops, she jumped me on the couch.
The ladies like, that she brings over.
Sure.
They're so loud. Jesus Christ. Fucking loud.
Why are you fucking an ambulance? Stop it.
Your partner suggests taping your next sex session. What do you say? LOL, we've already done this so many times and I'm down. Or I've got some questions, but I'm intrigued.
Again, no answer.
Yeah, both of
and
these
no,
are
like,
definitely
we've like we've thought about it, but haven't done it either.
Yeah, these are definitely both like we're gonna. This is most likely going to happen.
Your go-to sex position is doggy style or spooning.
You don't want to look your partner in the eye at all. So let's all be real here.
How much, there are no other positions.
How much
only
of a,
those.
How much of a dick do you want to be?
I'm picking doggy style.
Spooning is same. Yeah, I'm doing doggy style spooning. I've tried and it is such a hard position to do. Yeah. Like it's just not comfortable.
Question 8. Do you enjoy BDSM? Yes, I could teach a masterclass in rope bondage right here, right now. Or, I think 50 Shades is hot. Duh, who doesn't? But it's
me?
Never come up. 50 Shades is
the epitome of an abusive relationship.
Yeah, it's not hot.
It sucks.
50 Shades of Gaslighting. I picked option one.
Yeah, I picked one.
Same.
Eli?
The same. I have no idea what that was. Looney Tunes is just playing in the back of my head, I guess.
Describe your perfect threesome scenario. You're hanging out at the bar alone when a sexy couple hits on you and invites you to be their unicorn for the night. Option B, you and your long-term partner invite a sexy stranger into bed with you for a one-time fling.
By unicorn, do they mean doing that thing where you have a strap-on on your head? If so,
I've never been called a unicorn
before. I was about
before.
To say, I have this vision of Eli in a bar being asked this, then all of a sudden, bling, and he's got like a dildo on his head and like a mane and everything.
Eli, no, do you want to be a unicorn?
Goddamn right.
All right, Hunt, it's me and you at a bar. Eli's our unicorn, all right? Hey, babe, you see that guy over there? I think I want to try a threesome tonight. What do you think?
I think I can mount that.
Okay. Oh. Hey, what's your name?
Hey!
My name's Eli.
Hey, Eli, you want to be our unicorn for
Not
the night?
A chance. I've got some fields to run through and fairies to fuck. Unicorn days for life.
That does sound like unicorn business. I think we should step back.
I think so, too. Let's just Miri press all night, babe.
Thoughts on dirty talk? Sex without dirty talk is just weird. Or no thanks, I feel weird talking to my partner like that. I mean, honestly, I suppose it just depends on who you're with.
Yeah, like, can't you enjoy it both ways?
No, I'm fucking nasty in bed. Like, I will talk to you like you're a piece of shit.
It's gotta be weird. We get weird in this household.
Deaf, dirty talk. Guys, deaf.
Deaf,
deaf
totes.
Dirty talk.
Deaf.
Is that like
deaf
sign language?
Deaf, dirty talk.
Oh.
Thoughts on PDA? It's hot as fuck, or some things should be private.
I'm totally into PDA. I'm also very, very into subtle hands and pants. So.
Oh, I was treating it as like normal displays of affection. So
Okay, so everybody's answering differently.
Fuck it. Like, run it how you feel.
Everybody's different.
Have you chat with your friends about your sex lives over brunch? Always, and I have zero problem being the one to share my stories first. Or I'll listen, but it takes a few drinks for me to really open up about my personal life.
So either you're like, nah, but I will, or you're like, I'm going to bring this topic up and start it. There's no, like, in between. Am I going to be like, oh, wow, this omelet is great. Do you know what we did last night? Like, it's such a non-sequitur.
Speaking of omelets, I ravaged this girl's ovaries last night. Scrambled those eggs. I'm honestly more of a B, not because I won't talk about it, but because I don't.
You don't talk, Eli.
Very true. How would you introduce sex toys to your relationship? Invite your partner to go sex toy shopping with you, or wait for them to bring it up first? Okay, so if you're waiting for them to bring it up first, you're not introducing it, are you? You fucking liar.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Eli on that one.
Yep.
I mean, I've literally gone sex toy shopping. So,
are there people that haven't? Is that common?
Yeah, probably. Again, Puritanism. Yeah.
Yet, what he said.
The sex only for procreation crowd. It's not even missionary.
Oh, never mind.
Missionary,
not even missionary.
Yeah, like it's boring. What is it, like,
telepathy?
Yeah, that's what. He comes, puts it in a turkey baster, and then impregnates her.
Mm-hmm. That's so gross.
Thank you.
If your partner found porn on your computer, how would you react? NBD. Now they know what you're into and you can skip a few steps, winky face, or shock and horror. Pretend someone else sneaked into your room and hacked your computer, or friends put it there as a joke. Friends, they're always joking.
So isn't it snuck, not sneaked?
What? So it's both?
Both work.
Yeah. I believe sneaked.
Sneaked is older fashioned.
Yeah.
I hate that. It's an ugly, ugly word.
I like how there isn't the option of they already know.
Like, who the fuck says, no, someone must have snuck into my room and done that.
You live alone. Like, somebody broke into my house and put porn on my computer. Why didn't they steal anything? I don't know.
Question 16. Your partner says they want to try out role-playing, like you're both strangers picking each other up in a bar. How hard do you commit? Not do you do it or not. How hard do you commit? Wigs, new clothing, code names, booking a hotel room, going all out. Or you want to see how hard they commit before you decide. I mean, fuck you. What kind of person would do that?
Except, like, no, I haven't, like, gone full out costumes, wig, new identity, code name, and, like, booking a hotel new room identity. and doing spy shit.
You're like in back alleys buying new IDs from somebody just so you can fucking get off on role playing.
Yeah, like, I'm just like,
a fedora specifically for this purpose.
Exactly.
Here's our new passports. Fuck me.
And then it's like, if you answered mostly A's and mostly B's, so it doesn't even, like, tell trash. You.
What the fuck?
It didn't even record your answers. Fuck you, Cosmo.
This is awful. The shit? Don't do a Cosmo quiz.
It literally just gives you...
It doesn't show you.
I'm not bothering.
Okay. If you got mostly A's, congrats, you're kinky as fuck, you're a sexual extrovert, and you have no problem bringing up the kink convo first. Your partners are super grateful to have such a no-nonsense partner who enthusiastically dives into experimenting with new things. If you got mostly B's, you're adventurous in bed. Okay, fuck this questionnaire.
It's just
you're
the adventurous same thing. In bed too,
but you prefer some coaxing to get out of your shell. You're definitely down to get dirty, but you prefer if your partner brings it up first. Your partners love that you're someone who digs communication before diving into something new.
Cosmo is just trying to appeal to the older women who, like, want to say that they're into weird shit, but, like, would definitely be terrified if somebody brought out, like, handcuffs.
No, I think, what was it? Cosmo gave advice that, like, if you want to get tied up in bed, but you're really nervous about it, the advice that was given was get them to tie you up with something like toilet paper first.
If you try to tie me up with toilet paper, I'm going to feel immediately disrespected.
I'm gonna break out of that and feel like He-Man.
have the power!
By the power of Grayskull.
By the power of Grayskull.
We have a whole ass guest up in here in the Fabcast, and his name is The Huntsman 1880. I got that right on the first try.
Yes, you did.
So I've got a couple questions for you. We're very excited to have you here on the Fabcast today. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Obviously, you are a performer here on GWA.
Yes, I am. I've been doing this for a little over, I'd say about a year and a half now. I forget how I stumbled onto GWA, but I assume that I was I found it while I was in Korea, where porn is illegal. So I just kind of, struggled to find it where I could, and Reddit is a wonderful source of porn, and was not caught by Korean censors.
So, what do you enjoy most about making audios? What's your favorite part?
I'd say just getting to, like, try out different things, different voices. I've always kind of had a little bit of talent with it, like just making weird noises with my mouth. So getting to actually do that, like read through a script and experiment with it and different things I can do, I think is probably what I enjoy the most about it. Plus all of the praise from a job well done is just very satisfying.
That is the best part of this, that's for sure.
I wouldn't know.
So you said that in Korea, porn is illegal. So does that mean... So I know that you found audio porn, obviously, but does that mean that nobody watches porn? Is it like prohibition where people are like illegally finding it?
You have to go to a porn den.
Yeah, it's like prohibition. Because you get a VPN, you can go wherever you want. Yeah, so it's one of those things where, like,
it's unspoken that people are still consuming
right.
it. Gotcha.
I'm kind of disappointed like, there are no,
Tumblr
like, porn
and
speakeasies.
Were still completely unblocked. What was that
and
mean?
And then Tumblr blocked itself because they didn't want to live anymore.
And then I stopped going.
They just committed seppuku.
They really did. Like, I stopped going on Tumblr after they cut all the porn out. What was the fucking point after that?
So, Huntsman, what would be a go-to example of your work? Like, what's your, say, your favorite intro audio that you would give somebody to show them what you do?
There's actually an audio that I made, one of the first ones that I actually made, which is it's called What I Want. And it's a narrative about basically, it's part fantasy and part reality of what I've done and the things that I do during sex. So, and that's kind of where I look for scripts to kind of follow that theme. I'm a dom and I like control and overstimulation and all that shit. So that one audio very much covers a lot of bases. So I think that if someone is trying to figure out what I'm about, they'd have to scroll all the way back there. I'd say that's probably one of the best ones to see kind of like what I'm about.
Right.
And I also have a more recent one called Step Into the Void that I'm very, very proud of that I think showcases a little bit more depth.
Eli and I are both performers that have never done Ramble Faps. And I, for the record, probably never will. You've performed some. So what is it about performing like a Ramble Fap that you like to, that you enjoy?
So I'll be honest, Ramble Faps are weird for me. Just because I very much can't get off to the sound of my voice. And talking will actually take me further from orgasm. So it's weird finding like that balance of like I'm gonna get where I need to go and also I need to keep my listener engaged.
A great way to edge yourself, I guess.
It is actually, believe it or not. And it's
just start talking.
I just start going through my grocery list and I'm like, ah, fuck, that's not sexy. Oh god, look at this asshole. I just kind of like saw people who were doing Ramble Faps and was like, all right, you know what? I might as well see what this is about and see what the reaction is. And the first time I recorded one, I actually didn't post it because I just kind of like did my thing, and then that was it. And it was just like super awkward, like panting and moaning, and somebody shaking a bag of quarters nearby. So, so I was like, this is horrifying. I don't want to listen to this. I doubt anybody else is going to want to listen to this. So I stopped doing that.
I'm right there with you about the whole listening to your own voice thing. That's why I would probably never make a sex tape. Because I have no sexual attraction for myself, and that's a huge turnoff.
Oh yeah, no, I want to forget who I am during sex and masturbation. Like, I don't exist. So it's difficult getting into the mindset of I'm doing this for somebody else, and I need to be engaged as who I am to get them off with me.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's a fine line and a weird balance that you need to accomplish.
You really have to engage in your own ego for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To success, because I know a lot of people who do it, and like that's the majority of their body of work. And I wish I could be more like them sometimes.
I wish I had that confidence. That's the thing. Like, yeah. Because I briefly had an OnlyFans, and the only thing that came from it was I now owe a friend of mine $15.
How does that happen?
Because she knows what I do, and actually that's how we met. Was I needed help with the script that I wrote, and then so I sent her the script, and she was like, "Oh, this is really good. By the way, here's some nudes." And I'm like, "Oh, cool." So then we started hooking up. She's very, very, she's just like this all around great person, very, very supportive of me. Like, she helped me move into my apartment. So she was my first and only fan on OnlyFans. So I was like, all right, so it's just you. I'm going to shut this down. Literally. Yeah, truly. Really and truly, only fan. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to buy you a pizza or something and we'll call it even. Where was I going with this?
$15.
Oh, you're right. Hang on, I got it.
You're a cheap whore.
So
that's where the bag of quarters came in.
Correct.
Yeah.
So
you gotta earn this, boy.
But yeah, one of the reasons why I shut the OnlyFans down was because I don't make enough content. Like, I don't produce enough original content for it to be worthwhile. Like, for somebody,
justify it.
Right. For some, like, somebody who's going to give me money every month to be one of my fans is not going to get their money's worth, and I'd feel guilty about that. I would feel bad.
Right.
There's only so many things I can say while jerking off that's not going to get old after a while.
I assume that's why you enjoy scripts, is because you're playing a character.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's very much getting out of my own skin to play a character and getting into a different mindset and playing. And plus, I don't have to worry about like improving my own shit for the most part. And I also don't have to worry about maintaining an erection the entire time.
Yeah.
So it's.
That's work.
It's, man, it's difficult. Let me tell you.
But like, they have pills that can help you.
Yeah, but like. I don't like that at that point.
Just so they can ramble.
It'd be funny.
You're like writing Viagra off on your taxes.
Right.
That'd be amazing.
It's a business expense. put it on your Schedule C. You were active about up until like a couple months ago, right?
Like July, yeah.
Yeah. And now would you say that you're back?
Yeah. Wholeheartedly, I am completely back. I needed to take a break. I needed to take a step back. There was a lot of stuff going horribly wrong in my personal life. But now I'm in a new situation. School started back up. I'm in a much different mindset, and I'm ready to commit.
Mm-hmm. And now we move on to our quote-unquote masterpiece theater.
Who decided that name? Was it you, Eli, or was it me?
Yeah, I did not touch that shit.
Way to throw me under the bus. God.
Miri, why is your file name Why is your file name called Kevin MacLeod Kalimba Relaxation Music?
What? Oh, shit! Because that was the royalty free music I used, and I was so pissed off using Audacity. I was like, fucking send a file. I don't even care now. Send it. I don't even care what it's called.
Miri got a little more sophisticated this time.
No, I didn't.
So
it's literally I didn't put anything on my voice, so it's like raw, unfiltered with music now. So yay!
Do you want to preface?
So I decided to do it in the style of a crime podcast.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. All right. The theme was documentary. The object that had to be mentioned or used was a magnifying glass. And the sex act this week is the Miri Press, which is doing what, full side splits on
Zerg? Well, yeah, no, the guy has his legs up and you're doing the splits across the inner part of his thighs.
What is the name of your piece? Do you have one?
No, I decided to be like Eli and not name it.
Okay, that's fine. That's very avant-garde of you. So, Untitled by Mirthwin. Here we go.
Shocking, mesmerizing, not fit for civilized society. This is how witnesses described the July 15th debut of the Miri Press. That summer afternoon had been hot and sticky. The recession hit middle America hard, too hard. When the banter circus rolled in, hundreds of families were lined up outside the Big Top.
She just called me out.
Little did they know that in less than 20 minutes, they would regret ever wanting to spend their money on a small shred of happiness.
This is very NPR.
The Banter Circus was a family-run circus that had survived for almost a century. But they ran it with an iron fist. Performers and crew were forced to sleep in cages with the exotic animals. That summer alone, 69 performers and crew members have been lost to feline inclinations. That afternoon, acrobatic duo Sergey and Svetlana had decided enough was enough.
Sergey
and Svetlana entered the second ring in their immaculate performing robes. Sergey held a magnifying glass up to the spotlight, and the light refracted, causing all in attendance to look at them in awe. Suddenly, Sergey and Svetlana disrobed to reveal nothing.
Nothing.
Now this would be shocking enough if not for the fact that Sergey was sporting a gesticulating erection. Trained in the wilds of Siberia in the world-famous Miri Circus, Sergey and Svetlana were both capable of inhuman feats.
Ew.
It was reported Sergey could balance on his erection and lift up household objects with it.
Oh my god, he's like an X-Man.
Sergey lay in the center of the ring, prone, drawing up his legs towards his chest. Svetlana jumped into the sky, landing in the splits across Sergey's upheld thighs. Sergey's legs encased hers, and then, to the awe and horror of the audience, Svetlana began to bounce. The act lasted 3 minutes before circus clowns unceremoniously hosed them down. Unfortunately for the audience, this was too little, too late. With that, the Banter Family Circus was done.
Why is it my
Sergey
circus?
And Svetlana disappeared into history.
The only place something like that would ever be allowed.
The question still remains. Why did Sergey and Svetlana decide to commit a heinous crime just to get fired? We may never know. But what we do know are the stories of the Miri Press victims. And it's those stories that I bring you today on Crimecast SVU.
I love that you hear the mouth like at the end. Special victims unit. I love that you hear the mouse click at the end. Quality!
High quality.
Yeah, that was, okay, so for everybody listening, that was the first time we coerced Miri into downloading Audacity, because the first audio that she mixed, she did on Sound Recorder, and we said, no. You need to download Audacity.
You're so a big girl now.
I think she did a good job. So bravo, Miri. Bravo.
Thank you. Well, everybody was here for me to pop my Audacity cherry. There you go.
Fuck it. Didn't film it.
Eli, did you want to go next or do you want me to go next? It's up to you.
Yeah, I want you to go next.
Okay. I went with found footage, and this is called the Miri Witch Project. All right,
well, you ready? Now you're gonna show me up. Thank you.
The sequel we all wanted.
Well, do you want to go before me or
no,
what?
No, just go.
Okay.
Hello. Hi. This is Tom, and I'm here in the
I'm so hard already.
Black Forest, and
I'm drowning in a puddle of wetness.
I'm
getting dizzy from my
around
erections.
In circles. Okay, so we came here film this documentary because
breathe into the mic, baby.
There's this legend about something called what was that?
You spelled weird, girl.
Okay, so there's this legend about the Miri Witch, and she lives in this forest, and what she does is if the Miri Witch catches you, she'll kill you while using your calves to support her legs. While she goes full pancake on you and then sucks your essence out with her black fuck magic.
I'm getting that as a fucking tattoo.
There are just all these dildos
that was amazing.
Hanging from the trees, and we don't know
where the trees came from.
it's so cold. It's so cold, and I've been trying to make a fire with this magnifying glass all day.
The magnifying glass.
I can't. Eli, try. Eli. Eli.
What
I'm out of here.
Eli.
Wait, where's Eli? No.
Not Eli.
Oh my god. Eli!
I'm right here, Tom.
Eli! Oh my god. Oh my god. Eli's listening. Oh my god. The townspeople say that it's just a myth. but I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure anymore. I'm not so sure.
Run, Tom, run!
Get out of here,
is it behind me?
You sound kind of dehydrated.
Where am I?
Don't go in the house!
Why is it so dark all of a sudden? It was afternoon. Just a second ago, it was nighttime now. What is that? Is that a house?
Don't go in!
Don't do it.
Don't do it!
There's a house. There's a house.
He's gonna do it.
No!
Of course I am.
I told you not to!
You deserve whatever black fuck magic's coming from.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Eli, she's back!
Mm-hmm.
my god.
What happened?
Oh my god, I'm inside of her!
Oh my god, I'm inside of her!
There you go.
The sequel we all wish we had.
Holy shit.
Alright, I have to ask. I have to know. How did you keep a straight face and stay in character while saying black fuck magic?
Yeah.
I improv'd that entire thing.
That was and fucking amazing.
Nicely done.
It's just something that came out. Okay.
Well, shit.
I'm not recovered yet. Hang on.
We broke the guest. I brought you guys a guest and you broke him.
While Hunt is recovering, Eli, do you want to tell us the name of your piece? Do you have a name?
My piece is called Planet Earth Mating Press. Mating Season. Fuck! I'm such a pile of garbage.
No, you're not.
Okay, so Mating Season. Do you have anything to say about it?
It is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever done in my life, and I'm really proud of it.
Did you do like a Morgan Freeman voice or something?
No.
Oh, okay.
Let's listen. Let's listen. I'm all excited. Right. I haven't heard it.
I'm expecting Sigourney Weaver. All right.
What? Here we go.
This unaired episode of Beyond the Magnifying Glass with David Attenborough takes us to South America, where Sir David makes one of the most amazing discoveries in human history. An animal never before recorded in its natural habitat. Let's take a look.
Is it a Miri? A wild Miri?
Dun dun.
She makes the SVU sound.
Here, in the lush lands of South America, we find a rare and truly curious creature.
This is
nice. A creature with no concerns outside of its immediate vicinity. The capybara. These large, bell-shaped rodents are native to these dense forests and swampy marshlands. See this friendly fellow minding its own business along the edge of the lake.
Not the capybara.
Truly delightful creatures, these mammals are. Able to hold their breath for up to 5 minutes, the capybara are truly suited to this environment, where they can live without threat of human disturbance. One could live peacefully here for... Sweet mother of God, what is this? Just something truly rare and magnificent. That glorious display of primality is the Miri Press. The Miri is as elusive an animal as exists on our planet. Hiding within its den.
Oh my god, do you hear those wet sounds? Jesus.
Doing most all its business from there until it needs to feed.
You gotta be wet when you do it.
It's mating season.
God damn.
A domineering matriarchal species. The Miri claims a mate from the Tickle Me Elmo suborder.
Oh my god.
An inch of their life. Lord, watch them go. The Elmo supine, legs in the air. The Miri on top, holding his legs back. Bouncing feverishly on his cock, with no concern for the Elmo's pleasure or safety. This is animal instinct. This is nature. This is why your parents won't let you stay up late to watch the good BBC programs. I think I need a moment to breathe. No.
Eli, this is great.
Don't you dare stop filming. I'll be right back. Just going to take a break in these tall grasses here.
Oh my god.
There we go. Fucking nature documentary, that's it. Oh, yes.
Oh my god.
There's one thing I didn't ever need was David Attenborough jerking off.
It got yicky at the end.
Eli, you are a beautiful person. Fucking... I love you.
That is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever done in my life. I'm so proud of it.
You should be. That was beautiful.
That was wonderful.
That was completely beautiful, and you're the best person ever for making that.
She's gonna masturbate to that like every night now.
I totally am. I'm not even gonna lie.
So much going on.
She's gonna role play.
The next topic is our creative processes.
This was a listener question, because they want to know about
what was the
our
question?
To basically describe our creative process from inception of an idea to product.
I just kind of run with it. Like, I don't know how to describe it. If I find a script that I like, I'll read through it. I'll make any like minor adjustments and like wording or something like that that I would feel more comfortable with or something like that. Yeah. So once I have like the script ready to go, I'll do a warm up of some kind just to get, you know, my voice ready. So, cause normally I live alone, so I spend hours not speaking. Sometimes I'll try to find something that goes in, that's like a little in line with what I'm trying to record. Like, cause I love doing like villain monologues just cause that's my thing. I've noticed that as I record the audio, I get better with it. Like I get more involved with it. So then there's like a quality difference from beginning to end, but I'd say that it's just patience and like getting into the nitty gritty of what you're actually going to be performing is the right. biggest part of the creative process.
I'm actually curious, because you said you do a vocal warm-up like Eli and Tom. Do you do the same thing?
No.
I might improv something, just not recording it, just kind of go through something. I don't do warm-ups, I don't do drills or anything. Sometimes I'll do a drill, but my voice actually gets worn out as the day progresses, so I try to record before late afternoon when my voice is more strained.
I suppose I read through out loud at least like a chunk of whatever it is I'm about to perform, so that's kind of a warm up.
So now, Eli, do you want to expand on your creative process for these audios?
Yeah, my creative process for script fills, generally I do go through and read all kinds of scripts, like religiously, and I do it to find things that I'd like to perform, but I love, recently when I started writing my own content, I do very much enjoy sitting down with like a really, like even just like a sentence, like a super basic fucking idea of what I want, and then creating a whole weird ass shit out of it. Just over a month ago, I started doing Monday Fun Days. Those have almost entirely been a collaborative effort with Miri and I, and that's like an extra step into that. What I was saying, like, creating something with and for the authors is such a fun experience for me. I find it very fulfilling.
Okay, so my creative process is probably a little bit different because I don't have to perform my shit, which is awesome.
You do now that you're
on
the podcast.
Yeah, can you tell us about your writing process and then tell us about the process you did for the challenge that we listened to?
Oh, all right, fine. So actually, I just realized all three performers on right now have all filled scripts of mine, which is pretty cool. Anyway, so firstly, it's I guess like, where do I get my ideas? And I either come up with something such as, Hey, you know what would be really funny is if a girl was riding and the dude started singing, she'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. And then I'll message somebody like Eli or Tom and be like, I want to do this. And then they'll probably be like, well, if you're going to do it, you have to go all the way. And that's how period juice came about, was Tom being like, no, you have to go all the way with this one.
How dare you? First of all, I just like to say, fuck you, Tom, because she made me read that. And
she made me perform it. I didn't put that out in public. No, that's attached to my name forever.
Honestly, and I pity you for that. And you are a much braver soul than I am. I couldn't get through that shit because I was like, no.
Yeah, so it'll be like ideas come from myself or from like, sometimes I'll watch things and be like, oh, it'd be really cool if there was a sex scene in this movie. So yeah, so I'll skim through requests. I have my own ideas. I'll have really weird challenges that I'll give to myself. And then I'll talk to Tom and Eli and they'll be like, yeah, do it. Cause you know, we always need someone to encourage us. And then apparently I write a bit oddly from other writers. So I go in, or I make my little outline and I bullet everything that I want to have happen. So I'll bullet the main plot points and then I'll bullet the sex acts. And then I sit down and I write the whole thing start to finish all the way through. The newer thing that I've done would be The Neighbor, where I was editing as it was being filled. When it comes to a script, I try to have a slight amount of detachment from it, just so that I can get it done and send it out into the world. So that's my creative process, which is pretty boring and linear, but there you go.
I think your script writing method with the bullets is actually pretty interesting. I think that's a great way to break it up, like, for you before you get started.
So Tom, the artiste who does process art, he is about to pontificate.
Our resident professional.
Yeah. Bring in class to this.
I have two primary modes of creation. So the first one would be writing out a script, and the process for that would be write, record, edit. And I have to have a prompt or some kind of concept or idea. And what I do is once I know what I'm trying to say, most often that thing is either thematically the thread that holds the piece together, or it's the end of the piece. It's the statement that I want to make. To create a story, I start with a three-act structure. I always start with three acts, but that doesn't mean that I always end up recording three acts. Sometimes I'll dump the first act and just jump into the second act and let people assume what has happened up to that point. But what I do is I will start with simple bullets, like, you know, X, Y, and Z happens to character one. And then the second bullet might be, and then character two comes in and does A, B, and C. And then bullet three would be, and then character one dies, or something like that.
And then character one dies.
When a character dies in one of my audios, usually that's the prompt. Usually it's, okay, this person is going to die and I need to get to that point. And so I start fleshing out the bullets from there. So if, you know, X, Y, and Z has to happen to character one, I expand on that. I put little, you know, bullets under that. I do that for every single like major beat, which in this case would be like three major beats, mini bullets under those. And then any details under those. And then literally what I do is I take the bullet and I will just write dialogue for it. And then I'll just continue doing that until I've got a fleshed out script. Recording is its own process. Sometimes I'll go exactly by the script. Sometimes I write how I speak. Do you guys, like, Eli, do you ever write the way you're gonna, you know how you speak, so that's how you're gonna write it. Like, do you ever do that?
I write every gasp, every moan, and every expletive.
I think all three of you have integrated, like, sound effects and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to using music and having an actual score, like, how much thought goes into picking that?
a lot.
And like, and do you care about it matching up with what you're doing and stuff like that?
Yes, I do. The most important thing is that a song ends. The right song is playing at the end if I have a song, and that it ends on the right beat of the song to punctuate the end. I think one of my best examples of that is Let Me Get to Know You. The end of that piece plays out in tandem with this acoustic ballad. And as the speaker character is talking in between his lines, the lyrics are being sung, and they just kind of, the lyrics and the dialogue kind of dance with each other until the scene ends. Eli uses music. Eli, what do you think about using music?
I hate using music because I'm very fucking particular about timing on everything. And so music is really hard to work with. And I had the same problem with my YouTube channel because I use music in every single video. But the all of the music that you use, you have to line it up with the sort of the timing of the song itself, but also the speed of the song. Because if the song is too fast, it's carrying the piece forward too quickly. And so what I end up doing a lot is finding songs. I have to find songs that have long drawn out sequences that I can cut and remix. So instead, I much prefer ambiance. For example, I posted an audio on Friday, and I legit sat down and spent 4 hours looking for music to try and fit in this thing. Got to the point where I just hated the sound with the music, and so I just went, what is my favorite fucking ambiance? Thunderstorms. Boom. There we go. So this is the part in our Fapcast where we move on to improv audios, which are way too much fun.
And we have a guest to join us today.
Do you like improv, Hunt?
I don't mind it. I've dabbled.
First person is
Hunt. Okay.
God damn it.
And
oh my God, please, fuck!
Oh yeah!
And Marithwin. Okay, so Eli, this guy Eli and Marithwin. All right. Okay, so we've got drama, fantasy, mystery, romance, and sci-fi. Which
we've
one?
We've done Hunt, drama, you pick fantasy, which one. Mystery, and sci-fi.
Hunt,
basically, you can do anything.
Hunt, which genre do you want them to perform?
I'm going sci-fi.
Sci-fi. It is the first one we did. A chemist who is hypocritical and a student who tends to brood. Oh, and the story is about a civilization that has already collapsed and is told in the form of excavated documents.
Okay. Well, that's not happening. I'm not that strong.
We're not going to do that.
We basically only ever stick with the characters. We don't take any of the other shit with us.
We kind of do the scenario, the plot. The plot is it's military sci-fi about standing up for what is right. And it kicks off inside a dream. So you're in a dream with an argument over the philosophical idea that will prove pivotal to standing up for what is right, I suppose. Eli got picked first, so he's the chemist who is hypocritical. Mirthwin is the student who tends to brood.
Oh my God, why are you in my dream?
Oh my God. Kid, I've come here to your dream to tell you something very important. I'm a firm believer that everybody in the universe, the entire universe, and the next one next door, is born good. Humanity is inherently good.
No, it's not.
But you, kiddo, you were born a piece of shit.
And? Like, I mean, you're the adult in a kid's dream, so what does that say about you?
That means that I'm a figure of authority and you should listen to me.
Or it means you're a hypocrite.
How does that make me a hypocrite? I don't
know. Takes one to know one.
Takes one to know one what?
Exactly.
That I'm a piece of shit?
Thank you. I'm glad you can admit that. Now let me go back to my dream. I was flying before. Why are you still here? What do you have to tell me?
I have to tell you the chemical formula for gases in the sun. It's going to be very important later.
Why?
Especially since we're flying right towards it. You're sleeping at the wheel, kiddo. You need to wake up.
What?
And see. Well, that... Okay.
You're sleeping right at the wheel, kiddo. You need to wake up.
At the wheel, kiddo.
Okay.
Why did you want to try that again, Eli?
No, I'm just going to let that burn.
Just let that one simmer for a while.
Alrighty, so...
People expect too much from us.
They really do.
Genre for me and Hunt. Should Hunt choose again?
Romance.
Romance? Okay. Okay. A tattoo artist who is generous to a fault, and a mime who...
How is the mime supposed to talk?
Well, he's stubborn, so... okay. Who should be who? Because we didn't spin.
Oh my god, it's at an airport.
It's a romance-tinged story about how beauty is in the eye of the beholder. It kicks off at the airport with an awkward dinner party.
If it's a dinner party at the airport, it's already starting off awkward.
Yeah.
Okay, so who's the tattoo artist and who's the mime?
Should the guest...
Eli should pick.
Should the guest go first, or... I don't know.
I think that Hunt would make a great mime.
This one works.
Okay. All right. So we are at the airport. And...
at a dinner party.
Okay. All right. Hey. Hey. Mime. I'm sorry. I know you can't talk because you're a mime, but I just wanted to say that it's kind of weird that we're, you know, having dinner in the middle of the airport and people are staring at us. I guess you're used to people staring at you because you're a mime, but...
They're staring at you because you're trying to talk to a mime.
I'm talking. You're not supposed to be talking. Why are you so stubborn?
Because you're a weirdo.
But...
And this whole situation is awkward. You're bringing us unwanted attention. I didn't want to be here anyway. You know how much I'm getting paid for this?
I don't know.
Nothing. I have to do a pro bono because the fucking host is my cousin.
Mime. Love costs nothing.
Oh, God. Why do I feel I'd like such things?
I want to tattoo my lips under your lips.
I want you to do it right now in front of all of these people.
Let's go.
What, tattoo my lips onto yours?
What? I'm improving. Leave me alone.
It's perfect. Flawless.
How to get a guy?
I've got an erection. Who else?
I've already stroked mine off, so.
Well, you best get that puppy ready for round two.
We are doing, we're picking our challenges for next week.
Game show.
Ooh.
Hunt is a guest, so I think he should be able to throw in like a fourth one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fuck.
Is fuck considered a genre? I don't know.
We'll make it a genre, baby.
All right.
Prime time soap. Ooh. Like 90210 and shit. Or like Melrose Place. Do you guys remember Melrose Place?
Does anyone remember Passions?
Yes, but that was a daytime soap. Nope.
I think you guys don't understand that Hunty and I are from an entirely different generation.
Actually,
wait, what?
Excuse me, I'm actually younger than Tom, so fuck you.
I need two more genres.
I'm so confused.
He's gonna pick Star Wars. I know it.
No, well, Mary. Joke's on you. I was gonna say mecha stuff.
Mecha? Okay.
Stuff. So mecha.
Fuck.
Yeah, I looked over and I saw the Gundam on my desk. So
I think my genre is gonna be musical.
Jesus. Oh my god!
Jesus Christ. Okay.
I can't sing.
Even better.
I can't sing either. It is a game show. A game show. We need a prop.
Glasses.
Glasses?
Yep. Mm-hmm. No. Glasses. No. Spinny wheel. I'm sorry.
What's the
spinny wheel?
The spinny wheel thing that like, and what? Now you get to like pick like blah 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 or whatever, and they spin the wheel and it like lands on something.
Oh, like Wheel of Fortune?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Or like Price is Right has the same like spinny wheel thing.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, boxing gloves.
Box of gloves?
Boxing gloves.
Oh, boxing. Boxing gloves. I'm going to say used condom.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm going to say
I stepped on one once.
my very first night in Korea, I stepped on one.
A single Cheez-It.
What?
That's so cruel. Does Cheez-It have no?
Cheese-it.
Yep.
Because the spelling matters.
It's a spinny wheel.
It's a spinny wheel.
I can't keep landing on my stuff.
All right, sex act.
I want to go with Fraudage again.
Fraudage?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to...
Wikipedia has a whole sex act.
Nice job. Nice job.
Yeah, I went through that thing making my Excel list.
I'm sorry. I just saw penis fencing, and that's my option.
Yes,
that's my choice. Oh,
there's a picture.
That is a picture, Tom. That is a picture. You can move the mouse now.
Please move the mouse.
This one. You want this one? You want this one?
Rusty trombone. That's mine.
Rusty
that's
trombone. Okay.
That's not a sex act. Penis fencing.
Okay.
Yes.
We need one more.
What is the picture for penis fencing?
A sexual technique in which the woman uses her vaginal muscles to stimulate the man's penis.
Got a Kegel, ladies.
It's like soaking.
Both partners remain still while the woman strokes the man's erection using rhythmic rippling pulses of the pubococcygeus muscles.
Oh shit, that's harder than I thought. Because you're not just squeezing, you have to squeeze like you're doing a wave.
Yeah.
So it's like you're doing that belly dance motion, but with your vaginal shaft.
Hey, look, Kunyaza's in here. Oh, here's sounding.
Oh, God's above.
And it's a picture.
And you can get e-stim sounds, so you can actually like electrically stimulate the whole thing.
What is your
utheral
intercourse? Oh, body sushi. Niotaimori. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds fine.
Or natamori for on a man.
I wanted penis fencing. Come on. No.
Frottage it is.
Okay, so game show with a wheel where we have to frot.
Fuck, dude.
That is what we will do.
It has been a fantastic time having you here, Huntsman.
It has been absolutely precious to be
thank
here.
Thank you for joining
thank
us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Wow.
Thank
you so we're much precious.
For one-upping my words, you cunt.
Mm, thank you for being here.
That's what I do best. Thank you.
Quoting, it'd be really nice to hear you guys discuss different types of kinks/fetishes. It's interesting to hear different people's perspectives. Food for thought. Number two, gear/software for those who prefer the audio side of things. And then three, mystery. And that's all the word was mystery.
That's a suggestion?
Yes, it was.
Mystery.
Actually, would our guests like to give us a suggestion? First,
please don't put me on the spot. I'm nervous.
First thing that pops into your head, go.
Fuck.
It's always fuck.
Okay, so we can talk about fucking.
It's been a while.
So there you have it. We have a guest that I successfully made feel uncomfortable. Eli discovered that he really wants to talk about software and gear. For what? I don't know. Tom got to express his creative needs, and I got to be a fucking weirdo, which is apparently what I've been hired for. They pay me in peanuts. Bye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Who hasn't said bye? Eli, say bye in like your cutest baby voice.
Bye. Oh, God.
Nails on a chalkboard.
Thank you for listening to